Cleopatra's Legacy, The Enduring Struggle, Chapter 4, The Serpent's Whisper. Last time on Cleopatra's struggle, in her quest for answers at the Mystery School of Alexandria, Cleopatra encounters a godlike figure carrying a lamb, revealing her role in a cosmic drama that spans millennia. Armed with ancient texts, she begins to evolve, gaining supernatural abilities that will transform her from a ruler into a powerful mystical force. Meanwhile, the hidden sanctuary of Apophis's cult is busy, a beehive of action. There is the sound of flickering torches and distant chanting filling the air. A low, rhythmic hum of a sinister nature underscores the atmosphere. Beneath the sands of Egypt, in a dark chamber carved into the earth, the Serpent of Darkness exerts its unholy influence. Once intelligent citizens now stand as mindless devotees, their free will stripped away, their loyalty sworn to a dark and ancient power. A high priestess leads the proceedings, her voice echoing, commanding. They are ready. The serpent has claimed their minds, and now they belong to us. Their thoughts are no longer their own. They live only to serve the dark will of the serpent. The high priestess is a tall, striking figure with piercing green eyes that glow with an eerie light. Her long, raven black hair and flowing purple and black robes exude a dark, commanding presence. As the ritual intensifies, the high priestess's eyes turn into glowing yellow slits, her skin rippling with serpent-like scales. Her voice deepens into a hiss, and her face distorts, taking on the cruel, angular features of Apophis. She moves with a sinuous, inhuman grace, fully consumed by the dark god's presence. Two cult leaders flank her. The first cult leader says with grim satisfaction, "Our moles within the palace have reported the time is ripe. An unleashed attack with the serpent himself will leave the palace vulnerable, and then we must strike, and strike quickly. The guard, the army, will be out responding to us." The cult leader is a sharp-featured man with cold, calculating eyes and a lean, almost skeletal frame that matches his ruthless demeanor. His ambitions are split. He both believes in the dark god, Apophis, but he also profits from it. Cleopatra, she is the key. Without her, Mark Antony's forces will crumble. We can take her, and Egypt will fall to its knees. And another cult leader, coldly and calculating, says, "Our moles will open the gates. Once inside, we will have control of the palace, and Cleopatra will be in our grasp before the night is through. The people of Egypt will follow whoever holds the queen." The second cult leader is a stocky figure with a shaven head and a cruel smile, exuding an air of brute force and intimidation. The high priestess chimes in. "The worshippers are prepared. Once they enter the palace, they will do whatever is commanded of them. They will act without hesitation, without fear, for they know only obedience to the serpent." And the first cult leader says, "And when Cleopatra is ours, we will use her to bring Mark Antony to his knees. With her as our hostage, we will dictate the future of Egypt." In the hidden depths of this dark temple, the plan is set in motion. A plan to seize the Queen of Egypt herself. The moles within her palace are ready, their minds twisted to serve the serpent's will. Meanwhile, in Cleopatra's war room, there is the sound of military preparations. Mark Antony, the great general, with his troops, along with the queen, are frantically making preparations. They've received intelligence information that there is an attack in the works, one that will include the dark god, the serpent himself, Apophis. "I have no answer for the god. The followers, the troops, whatever he has, yes. But as far as the god's supernatural abilities, no. But Cleopatra's eyes light up. I do. And here's what I learned from the mystery school. The key to his power lies in the Great Pyramid. These structures are not just tombs, they are conduits, channels of immense spiritual energy that Apophis has tapped into. He draws his strength from the alignment of the pyramids with the stars, particularly the constellation Serpens. And Mark Antony, skeptical, says, "And so what? We destroy the pyramids? Well, that's easier said than done, Cleopatra." But Cleopatra shakes her head. "No destruction is it necessary. The texts I've studied speak of a way to sever his connection to the pyramids without causing irreversible damage. The priests of old used mirrors, large polished disks of silver, to reflect and disrupt the energy channels, thereby depriving the god of his power." Mark Antony now leaned closer, very intrigued. "Reflect the energy? Well, how does that work?" And Cleopatra says, "The pyramids were built to harness specific cosmic energy. By placing these mirrors at key points, we can create a barrier that deflects the energy Apophis is drawing upon. If we can disrupt the flow, we can weaken him significantly, perhaps even sever his connection to this world entirely." The general nodded. "So while my troops handle the cultists and their mindless followers, you and your priests set up these mirrors. But what if he's already too powerful, this god? What if he's already drawn enough energy?" And Cleopatra confidently holds up a small amulet. "Well, that's where this comes in. This amulet was created by the high priests of Ra to seal away dark forces. Once we've disrupted his connection, I'll use it to bind him. But I'll need you to keep his followers at bay while I perform the ritual." Mark Antony grasps her hand, determination in his voice. "You focus on the ritual. I'll ensure no one gets near you. We'll end this together tonight." Under the silvery moon of Egypt, the battle against the Serpent of Darkness reaches its peak. Mark Antony's forces clash with the cultists, fighting with the strength of desperation as Cleopatra and her priests attempt to sever Apophis' connection to the ancient pyramids. The priests chant, their voices low and steady, positioning themselves in the mirrors to reflect the energy flow from the pyramids. "The alignment is nearly complete, Your Majesty. The mirrors are set, but Apophis's power is strong. We must act swiftly." And Cleopatra says with determination, "By the light of Ra, we shall sever his grip. But this victory will be but a pause. Apophis cannot be banished so easily. Prepare yourselves, for this is only the beginning." The mirrors begin to glow as they reflect the energy from the pyramids, disrupting Apophis's control. The sky above flickers, the constellation Serpens dimming as the connection weakens. Mark Antony from the battlefield rallies his troops. "Stand strong and hold them back. We must buy Cleopatra the time that she needs." The battlefield quakes as the ancient energies shift. Cleopatra's ritual is strong, but the Serpent of Darkness is not so easily defeated. Even as the light of Ra flares from the amulet, a shadow remains, an echo of Apophis's malevolence, waiting for another chance to strike. A high priest, reporting with awe and with fear, says, "The serpent withdraws, but I feel its presence lingering. We have only wounded it, not destroyed it." And Cleopatra, breathless, lowers the amulet with a grim expression. Apophis retreats to the shadows, but he is not gone. He will return, and when he does, his wrath will be greater than before. We must prepare for what is to come. And what is to come isn't good. A deep, ominous silence falls over the battlefield as the echoes of Apophis's roar fades into the distance. The soldiers, victorious but wary, look to Cleopatra and Mark Antony for guidance. Mark Antony, placing a reassuring hand on Cleopatra's shoulder, says, "We've bought ourselves time. But you're right. We must be ready for the next battle. Apophis will not rest, and neither can we." And as the weary soldiers lower their swords, the sense of victory is tempered by the knowledge that the true battle is yet to come. Apophis has been pushed back, but not defeated. His shadow looms over Egypt still, waiting for the moment to strike again.